back to the Jeff Forrest Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday. We are in Montgomery. Deliberations are underway in the fifth floor. No, it's the fourth floor. Dang it, I'm getting this wrong. Fifth floor, I think. The Alabama State House, the House Chamber, if you will. They're debating the gambling. Yeah, fifth floor. They're debating gambling there, and we're keeping an eye on that. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. Text me, and I'll do my best to answer your questions about this gambling situation. But we're going to change gears here. As we pledged to do on this program, have Congressman Carl and Congressman Moore come on each once a week until that March 5th primary. Got to talk us through it and what's going on the campaign trail. But keeping true to that pledge, right now we have Jerry Carl, Congressman for the 1st Congressional District, running for his Republican nomination for his seat. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic, buddy. It's beautiful weather up here in D.C. A little cold, but a great day to be alive.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You'll start kick it off here. Last I saw you, I guess it was Thursday at Azalea City, but how's the campaign been going since?
Jeff, it's the strangest thing. 3 weeks ago, it's just like a light switch cut on, and I feel the momentum, and I guess all the pounding and conversations and pushing, you know, my issues and what I think are the most important issues, which obviously is the border, without a doubt. We got to shut the border down. We have to enforce Remain in Mexico, and we've got to address the 8 million plus that we have here now and get them out. It's going to take a Trump administration to do that. Dear Lord, not by Joe Biden. So, but pushing my agenda in that direction, you know, we're looking at the economy and what the economy we're in, which I'm really nervous at. I think it's a false economy. I think the economy that you're looking at right now can be propped up at election time, the things that have been known to happen. So, but our message must be getting out because our phones are lighting up. Folks wanting yard signs, folks making phone calls. I think we've made probably 10,000 plus phone calls. So everybody's busy, everybody's excited, and we've got the momentum, so we're just going to keep pushing right on through the next 19 days.
Well, do you find people are starting to wake up, pay more attention now? I mean, this is always every campaign and everyone I've ever talked to that's a candidate, it's finding that right time just to press the right button. So early on, maybe it's a get-to-know-you kind of campaign in the other part of the district or wherever, build up some name ID. Then you don't want to peak too early. You want to get that momentum heading into the primary day. Where do you think the public is when it comes to their engagement in a race like this?
Well, in the Wiregrass, we're getting a lot of support from the local elected officials there. And that's really, I wouldn't say it surprised me. It's been a good surprise. And I'm excited about that. I think our numbers in the Wiregrass are going to surprise a lot of people. I do not anticipate this being an easy race. It's going to be a 50-50 race. The Mobile market is they're waking up and they're going, wait a minute, so we're going to lose this guy that we've had for 14 years that has fought for all these different companies that have brought all these jobs in, that he's a doer. He's not just a talker, but he actually does what he talks about. They're waking up and they're in fear. And the business community has really come to life. You know, we've seen our dollars collection-wise skyrocketing. I mean, everyone's it's waking up. And I think the fear of the Gulf Coast, you know, losing representation and losing somebody that they know gets the job done is beginning to kick in. And my job is going to be after the 5th is start trying to put the Wiregrass and the Gulf Coast together. And I have full confidence I can do that. And this time in 2 years when we're having this conversation, we can say that the Wiregrass supports me and they have fears because of, you know, possibility of losing me. So, that's my job, but it's waking up. Everyone's waking up, and we're just getting excited. We truly are.
Well, what does it look like from here to a primary day? I mean, that 2 week window is coming up here. I don't know what more each of you could do. You and Congressman Moore, you both seem to have your foot pretty heavy on the gas pedal. Going down the road here. What do you do? I mean, like, well, how do you amp it up even?
So we'll get in tonight around late after 10 o'clock. We'll get in tomorrow morning. We have meetings set up. We're trying to focus. When I say we, I'm talking about my campaign. We're trying to focus on touching people, keep pushing our message out, reaffirming to our base. You know, we need you to get out and vote. That's what this election is going to be about. Who can turn out the most of their base? We will be over in the Dothan Enterprise area next week for a couple of days, but the rest of the week we're going to be in Baldwin and Mobile County. So we're back and forth. It's going to be a zigzagging back and forth. And we get called back into session a week after that, which we're going to deal with the CR issue, and we could easily wind up being here on Election Day. Which that's not going to work. I'll let leadership know if they need me. I'll be in Mobile. We have to be back in our districts, you know, for Election Day, and we'll get a free ride on that, I would assume. But it's hairy. It's rough up here. Things aren't getting tougher. We got some pretty big issues, some national and defense stuff. I leave here and actually go to the briefing and find out what all is going on there. We've got so many issues. Appropriations, which we're still trying to get our appropriation package back on the floor and try to bring enough votes together. So we're trying to do our job here and at the same time run a campaign back home. So it's a challenge for both of us. So this is the life we chose to live. I think it's the line from the movie from The Godfather. But so we're living it. You know, we're doing everything we can do to win a race I've asked for support from especially my base there in Mobile Baldwin County. We've got to get out and vote. We've got to get out March the 5th.
Joined by Congressman Jerry Carl running in the 1st Congressional District primary coming up on March 5th for the Republican nod in that congressional race. Congressman, voting to, I guess this was a no-brainer here, voting to once again to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, DHS Secretary. Not a big surprise there. You finally get the vote. So how do you feel about where that went or how that played out?
Well, we should have gotten it passed the first time. And we just got some knuckleheads up here that for whatever reason, you know, they choose. We had three, I think, on that particular vote that voted against it. Or actually two, and one was a procedure vote, and he had to get in there to keep it alive. But it has passed, and I'm proud to say it passed on what we thought was going to be a tight vote. I think we won it by one. And now it's to the Senate. It's going to be interesting to see how the Senate handles it. I'm not familiar with the Senate protocol, but they have to bring it up in some form at their next agenda. So they can't put anything ahead of it. Now, what does that actually entail? We don't know. Does that mean they have to put it on the floor to vote on it? The Democrats do not want it on the floor. The Republicans want it. You know, we're all making a statement here. Our border is broke. And this man's part of the reason that it's broke, because he's following orders from Biden. And, you know, we've got to get Biden out of that seat. I mean, he is killing us at the border. And I've been on your show many, many times, and I say the same thing. I don't understand why. If your sole responsibility is secure in this country and its borders, like Mayorkas was to do, get rid of him. If he was an employee, you would have fired him a long time ago. So we're trying to get rid of him, and we got to get rid of Biden at the same time. Trump, let's get Trump back. Let's put Trump's original border wall policy in place, because that's just what I ran through a while ago. Finish the wall, remain in Mexico, and let's get folks back that are not supposed to be here. Real simple. That's Trump's vision, and it worked. But now we've got 8+ million that we've got to figure out how to get home. And I don't have a problem getting them home. I think that'll be well spent money. As you see the crime rate spiking, you see especially the crime rate in some of these larger communities like New York, where the immigration system up there is just killing them. Financially, it's hurting them. People need to keep in mind how it's going to affect them. You think, well, they don't live in our neighborhood. They don't live in our community. You may be right. I think you're wrong, but you may be right. But you're going to pay for their education. You're going to pay for their hospitals. You're going to pay for their bad behavior. So, yes, you do have a dog in this fight. It's called money, because the federal government doesn't do anything to make money. We only take money and re-spend it, and we don't do a very good job of that. So keep that in mind when you start talking about border issues. You now all of a sudden are paying the bills, and we will. You will. I'm sorry, we will. My money too. But we will be paying the bills for these illegals being here. So I'm all for rounding them up and sending them home.
Well, you know, tell me this, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse here. You got the Mayorkas impeachment out of the way. What do you do? I mean, are you gunning for Biden next? I mean, are there other cabinet officials you need to look at? What do you think?
Well, I don't think the Senate's going to do anything. I don't think they're going to pass it. I think that was a message vote. If they do, I will be tickled to death if they take it up and it passes and moves on to the president, because you know the president's going to kill it by him saying that he agrees with impeaching him. Means that everything Biden has been doing for the last 3 years is wrong, and as we all know, that's not going to happen. You know, we have to try to keep putting pressure on the president to start changing the border wall. He will never admit that they're broke, but we have got to focus on the fentanyl. We've got to focus on the people coming across. We've got to start. We have to keep focusing on human trafficking that's coming across. You know, the average person just wants to go to work, make a living for their family, and live in peace and not in a crime, drug-fested community. So this president, we have to keep pressure. We have to keep talking these stories so we can keep pressure on him, and hopefully he'll make small changes. And with those small changes, we can maybe slow it up, I think is at best, until we can get a new president in there, which is going to be Trump, and get in there and start changing these policies immediately. Trump doesn't need the House or the Senate. He knows it's just going to take one signature on one bill, and it's done. And it can automatically, exactly what we're talking about, be put in place.
Carson, I know you've been busy with your own race, but I think this is important. Aside from the presidency, controlling Congress, what does... How do you feel about the House in this November election?
You know, Jeff, I have been so focused on my race and also District 2 that I have not really been keeping up with races outside those two districts. I will. My attention will shift after my election, but I'm focused on listening to the people in my district. I'm focused on getting my message out. I'm focused on what I need to do to be reelected. And District 2, I'm watching that one also, because I don't want to lose that district to the Democrats. I want to win it. I want to keep it as Republican. We need that vote on the floor. We need that support. So those are the only two races that I've been focused on. So to tell you what's going to happen on a national basis, I'll be honest with you, I just have not been keeping up with it. I don't have time for all of it. So I'll block that out. And of course, after March the 5th, I can start focusing on that and give you a better answer.
What, I assume you got allies there that are kind of on your side on this one. Do you bring in personalities or whatever, sort of like your opponent's going to do or has done, I guess, with Jim Jordan? But do you do any of that to better your shot here on March 5th?
Jeff, I don't care who you bring in from Washington, D.C. That's not what people want to hear. That's not what they're thinking. I want to know what they want. I want to know. And if they want to know who I'm bringing in their mayors. I'm bringing in their county commissioners. I'm bringing in their House members. I'm bringing in their state senators. That's the endorsements I look for. Those are boots on the ground. Those are people that know what needs to be done. They're not a Washington-based public figure that's, you know, quote unquote, you know, one of the most recognized places in America. I get that. I work with Jim. I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, but Jim doesn't live there. Jim doesn't know what the real issues are. We can talk about top three issues. But like I said a while ago, the average person trying to provide for their family, they're worried about the price of groceries. They're worried about gasoline to and from work. They're worried about that kid they know in 2 or 3 years wants to go to a school somewhere that they know they can't afford, and they're trying to figure out how to prepare for it. Now, you know, it's just about living. But if you want to bring an outside entity or a person in to endorse you in your own state, where is his local elected officials? Where are the people that's supposed to know him best? They're not there. So he's got to bring people in, his friends in Washington, to make him look better. Now, you want me to fill the room up with folks from D.C.? I can do it. I can bring in Mike Rogers, Dale Strong. I can bring in whoever. You know, I can give you a long list. But what you're not going to see me do is that. I want people to understand I am still just Jerry. And I work for the people. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. I will never be a talker. I am a doer. I'm a ditch digger. You know, I've had more manual jobs than I want to admit to, and I love it, and I can relate to that. And I don't want that outside personality coming in trying to give me an endorsement for what? To prove that I'm part of Washington? No, sir. I'm happy. I'll run on my record. I'll run on my path. I'll run on just being just Jerry.
Congressman, we're out of time. Got to leave it there. Before we let you go, tell us, folks, where they can find out more about your campaign.
Please go online, Jerry Carl for Congress. Turn out and vote March the 5th. We've got to have everybody to vote. Mobile, Baldwin County, Lisbon area here, and Escambia County. My folks up in Escambia County, let's get them out and vote. God bless you. And thank you, Jeff, for giving all of us candidates some time and hearing our message. It is so important that we get on your show and do this kind of stuff. Thank you.
Well, Congressman, you're very kind to make time, and we'll do this again next week. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.